Hello, Jordan.
What's going on, Michael?
I woke up in a bad mood today.
Oh, geez. That's not good.
Actually, you know what? I think I woke up in a decent mood. And do you know the first thing I did? It's not good. It's not aligned with my goals.
You scrolled.
Yep. Which app?
Twitter.
Yep. And what was the first thing I saw? By the way, good two guesses. Great start to the pod. You're on fire.
Bro, I'm pretty good. I'm going to guess it's something about American politics.
I saw a New Yorker at a pro-Palestinian protest.
Oh, wow.
In Manhattan.
I didn't think that was going to be it. Oh, burning an American flag?
Burning an American flag was literally what I woke up to.
And that's supposed to be free speech.
And ever since, this day has just, it's dreary, it's rainy.
I'm not going to say which.
I took the anger out on the weights, like borderline intentional poor form, because I was just angry to the point of like being okay with hurting myself just to throw weight around. And bad night's sleep, ate like trash the last 2 days. All of these things contribute, but
that was just the
straw.
Not the straw. That was
the
just
spark
the fucking
in the powder keg.
No, that's like makes it seem like it's a small thing. That's actually a really big thing. I was trying to think, that was like the fucking boulder that finally broke the camel's back. That was like a fucking mountain avalanche coming down. Like that's a big deal when you, I don't think people understand how big of a deal it actually is.
And we can talk about that. I was coming from the context of personal responsibility around knowing that these apps are polarizing, knowing I shouldn't spend time on them, knowing what I'm going to see when I open something like that, and doing it anyway out of this like complete addiction to social media. No, I like your way. I want to go your way, actually. Let's just lose money by going all the way in. I'm into that.
No, it's just insane to me. And I don't care who it is. I don't care who the person is. Like,
but before we go into it, go ahead, go into it.
Wow. Are you sure? I feel like we're sort of all over the place. You wanna go first?
No, I don't want to go first. I kept cutting you off. I wanted to talk about the other side of it, but I'm
well,
good
let's
to talk.
Let's talk about the other side though. Let's do that first, then we'll go into the other side.
The other side is we live in an era when most people under the age of 40 can't watch a TV show or can't watch a movie. Like we put something on the TV in the background and then scroll on our phones. And I say we, I mean 97% of people who I interact with, including myself most of the time. And I think it's only getting worse. And I think it's going to have very bad mental health outcomes. I think it's going to have very bad outcomes for society.
Dude, you're preaching. And I struggle with it too. Like I very much struggle with fucking scrolling. You know what I mean?
But isn't it wild that the thing that people thought was, you know, books to radio, radio to TV, people thinking the next thing is going to be hyper addictive, the thing that our parents or parents of our generation, if they were doing a good job, would have monitored the amount of time we spent on it, and many of them did, because it was like, okay, don't sit too close to the TV, you'll go blind, don't sit and watch, you know, too much TV, like go play outside. And now this thing that was supposed to be addictive can't even control the attention of the masses because there's something even more stimulating.
Yeah, dude.
Not being able to watch a movie is wild. You used to have someone who worked for you, who we would hang out with, who was in that like almost borderline Gen Z demo. And had watched like two movies in his entire life because he couldn't, and bless his heart, love the guy, but he couldn't watch a movie because it was just phone first, social first.
Yeah, dude, it's a problem. It's a big problem.
But not as big of a problem as...
No, it might even be more of a bigger problem than that, to be honest, because I mean, it's going to... I think that the first problem leads to the second problem. I think like the first problem like gives you this false idea of... especially living in America, if you're just scrolling all the time, you see all this like propaganda, there's all this like telling you how horrible life is and how like how things are terrible and how you live in the worst place ever. Meanwhile, this is literally the greatest place in terms of freedoms, in terms of access to basically everything, and not just the United States, but there are many countries, first world countries, I would say, in which people now, because they're looking at their phones constantly all the time, and they're being fed lies about how terrible it is where they live. They believe it, and then they think it makes sense to go and burn that country's flag, and what they're really supporting is organizations and ways of life that would gladly slaughter them if they exercised the same right that they have here. If they exercised that right there, slaughtered immediately. And I think it actually plays into one another. And I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think they very much play into one another. And to the fact that now people can believe that living in America is like a terrible country, or like it goes to show that they're deep in the scrolling, because there's no other way they would believe that. They wouldn't believe that if they weren't deep in the scrolling, if they had a modicum of knowledge of history, if they'd read an actual book and not a fucking TikTok or Instagram reel and knew anything about history, then they would be saying, thank God I am privileged enough to live in this country, not the other way around.
Man, way to tie those two together. That was impressive. And you're absolutely right. And we can even look at the number of people who want to immigrate into, and we could call this a basket of Western countries, or we could just call it America. Like, either conversation is fine. But almost nobody leaves, and tens of millions of people, I mean, millions Correct. Of people are coming. Tens of million, hundreds of million want to if they could. You know, legal
people
immigration.
People risk their lives to get here.
Yeah.
They risk their lives. They literally die trying to get here for the freedoms that we have that we take for granted. Like, the quintessence, the personification of privilege, of idiocy, of ignorance, all wrapped up into one. And keep in mind, it's not to say there aren't issues. Every country, every relationship, every there's issues with everything. But it just because there are issues doesn't mean that it's not the most amazing place there's ever been in history in terms of freedom, in terms of who's allowed to be here, in terms of why people want to be here. It's just, it's outrageous. And it really is the absolute personification of idiocy at the highest level.
Yeah. You're preaching.
And delusion. It's delusion is what it is. It's delusion.
Completely insane.
How was your workout, though? Was your workout good?
Angry. It was an angry
workout.
That's
a good workout.
Yeah, it was a good lift. It's a good lift. How are you? You got a little Gatorade Zero over there?
Yeah, Gatorade Zero. Yeah.
You're getting some steps in. You're drinking Gatorade Zero. You're kind of dialed.
I wouldn't say I'm dialed. I'm actually, you know what? I'm pretty dialed right now. I am pretty dialed. Things are going pretty well.
Atta boy.
Making good content. Making good... good moves fitness wise, spending a good amount of time with wife and daughter and dog. Yeah, things are pretty balanced, pretty good right now. Not as lean as I think I should be. I think I'm a little chubbier than I should be. Nothing crazy, but I'm also not worried about it.
Single digit number of pounds.
Yes, yeah. Like 3 pounds, maybe. Oh.
That was amazing. Hang on.
Yeah, you got like 9. That was awesome.
You, by the way, oh, let me, man, I got to give the context.
Just call it fat shaming me over here.
No. Here's God, the context.
Dude, that was unbelievable. That was like a movie. That was like a fucking movie.
Are you not going to let me give context?
Go for it.
You said that you wanted to lose 10 pounds. And no. I assumed it was in the 8 to 10 range was about what you wanted to lose. So I thought I was reaffirming where you were at. And by the way, and I have a second point, actually. For anyone to think they're a little chubby, but 3 pounds too chubby, like, that's a very fine line. You're really dialed into your body in that case to know that, like, to walk
dude,
the
I'm
line
super
that
dialed
close.
In my body.
You are.
When I said like 10 pounds, because I like have like a, that maintenance range of 10 pounds. And I'm at that upper end range right now. I also don't feel like I want to go, I don't want to go into like a legit cut and lose those 10 pounds now. So I'm like, like maybe just a couple pounds and then be like closer to the middle range.
Looks like I'm calling you out.
Yeah, you are. I'm not. Dude.
You said you wanted to go from 155 to 145. You were like, muscle ups would be way easier at 145. So I thought they wanted to go from 155 to 145. Maybe I think you could gain more fat and still look amazing. I think you should. I think you should bulk. And I don't mean lean bulk. I mean like a little dreamer bulk for a couple
Lee
months.
Haney bulk, little fucker.
Yeah, chicken wings.
Yeah.
Lots of chicken wings.
That was amazing. That clip will live in not the opposite of infamy. That was just the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
And 3.9 That was good.
Single digit, but close to double digit. 9
That was good. That was good. Well, good.
You're pretty dialed.
I'm glad
lately.
You're feeling good.
Your
I'm not
gut health has been. Yes, you have. Yes, Mike, you are. Your gut health is great. You've been having sauerkraut.
You're a gut health connoisseur. But I have been having sauerkraut with my eggs.
You're the gut health prime minister.
Why you got to make me? You know, no offense to the Brits, but I mean, Canadians.
Well, has gut prime health president. Okay.
There, that's better.
That's better. I'm like the gut health secretary of defense. You're the gut health president. I just serve on your cabinet.
Can I tell them what you're doing tomorrow?
Yeah, go for it.
You're getting a colonoscopy. And so I can't at age 32, I can't be the gut health connoisseur with you here.
You're 37. I'm 32 just for, yeah. No, I'm just doing it because I want to.
Did I say I was 32?
No, but I think it might have been confusing because you're like, at age 32, I can't be the gut health king. I mean, you were saying at age 32, I'm getting a colonoscopy, but just making it clear for
everybody. We'll have to see what the punctuation looks like on that. I believe I said you're getting a colonoscopy at age 32, period.
Yeah. I think there's a pause there. It was just a little bit like.
Fast, because I'm still angry.
I just want to learn more about my body. For the colonoscopy, you know what I mean? But like, you
love
know
that.
Gut health. Like, you're like a Jordan learned man around gut health.
Does this thing. Remember when you were in third grade and you were like, you're stupid. And the other person goes, no, you're stupid.
Yep.
That is Jordan's strategy in a lot of these conversations. And so when I say you're a gut health connoisseur, he just goes, you're a gut health connoisseur.
The best part is like you get a little bit agitated.
It works. A little. I get very agitated. It's extremely effective.
I wish I could see like 8-year-old Mike dealing with someone who is doing that. Like just to see how you handled it.
Poor emotional control. Probably led to like a wrestling match. Just not. Yeah.
Wrestling was off the table for you because hockey, there was just like never a moment where you were thinking, hey, maybe I'll wrestle.
No, it wasn't.
Did you know anyone who wrestled? Did you have wrestling at your school?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I don't know that I knew anyone who wrestled until high school. I'm trying to think if in middle school. No, we had a really good wrestler in middle school, lightweight kid, little kid, Jason Ness. He was a beast. Might have been like a college national champion, actually.
Oh, geez.
I might be making that up. Let's find out. Oh, he's a wrestling coach at the University of Minnesota. A national champion and the most decorated wrestler in program history. Ness holds a school record for career pins with 73.
Dear Lord. In high school?
No, in college.
That's insane. That's really insane. Good for him. What a beast.
Yeah. No, wrestling was never, as a sport, it was just hockey all the way. Some golf in there. A little football for a few years.
You played football?
Yeah.
What, like middle school?
Yeah, fifth through eighth grade.
What position? What's your favorite position that you played?
It's hard to, my favorite position was probably like a corner safety, outside linebacker. We ran a 4-4-3, which isn't something that they like. That's like a kid's defensive scheme. Mm. Four defensive linemen, four linebackers, and you know, like two corners and a free safety. Mm-hmm. But that was lightweights. So in middle school, they split us up into heavyweights and lightweights because some kids had gone through puberty, some kids hadn't. And so, mm-hmm. you know, you had Tarek Babushka, who was already 330. And then you had kids
what
who
was
were,
his name? Tarek Babushka? Is he Polish?
I don't know. His first name was Tarek for sure. Big, strong dude, but heavy. And then
big, strong, you know, Polish boy.
You had kids who weren't developed. And
some of them had to lose 9 pounds. Some of them had to lose 3 pounds.
No one had to lose any. You just had. It was actually probably net bad long term.
That you did football?
No. That there's heavyweights and lightweights. You get used to being the big fish in a small pond. And then you go to high school and realize that you're nothing.
If you're like the biggest kid in the lightweights, that's probably a real shock to the system. When you get to high school.
and I wasn't. I was probably middle of the pack lightweights.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Should I talk about this event that I spoke at the other day?
Yeah. Let's tell them about it.
Oh, man. This was amazing. So, if you're a regular listener, you know that my memory is terrible. Susan, if she's listening, she's laughing. She knows. Mike, you know, like people who know me know that like it's not like a – I think people who don't know me think that I'm just not paying attention or whatever. It's just like I just – my memory is really bad. ESTP, whatever it is. When I go to speak at an event, it's not – I'm not joking when I say like I don't know whose event it is. Like I don't know. And I figure out what I'm going to speak about. When I'm on my way there, like I'll talk to my assistant. I'll be like, hey, is this a business event? Is it a fitness event? Because that will dictate what, and I have my talks already. Like I know my business talk. I know my fitness talk. It's not like I just make it up on the go, but like, I don't know until really the day of. It's sort of like, that's sort of how I am in general. If I have something coming up and people are like, are you excited about it? It's like, I don't really get excited about something until I'm on my way there. I'm not like 2 weeks beforehand being like, oh, I can't wait. It's just like, usually on the day of, I'll get excited. Anyway, go to this event. Don't know who it is, what's going on. I know nothing about it. And regardless, I realize I'm giving a business talk. My talk doesn't change based on who it's to. In terms of like, I don't change my principles based on who's listening. It's the principles are the principles regardless. And I go to this event and I'm the keynote speaker, so I'm finishing this event. It's been like a 2-day event. And basically, I get up there and without realizing it, I start saying all the shit that they've been taught this whole weekend is nonsense. And I'm standing up there in front of, I don't know, 50, 75 people.
And coaches mostly?
It's all coaches. It's all coaches. Coaches who people who like who are in the same position as I would imagine coaches listening to us right now. They want to build their business. They want to help more people. And I'm standing there and I'm saying things and I'm watching their jaws literally drop and I'm hearing audible gasps and I'm watching people turn their heads towards the guy who organized this whole event. Like they're doing this thing when they look at him, they're like, oh my God, did he just say that? What's his reaction going to be? Mm-hmm. Like, almost like if you have a sibling and your sibling does something bad and you look at dad, like, oh my God, dad, did you see that? Like, are you going to punish that? Like that type of a thing. Uh-huh. And everything from, I remember this one person said like they're a high ticket coach and like for high ticket prices. And I just interrupted and I was like, all right, listen, here's the deal. I fucking hate the term high ticket coach and like immediately gasped from everyone looking at the guy because I think that they call themselves high ticket coaches. And I went off and I was like, when I was coming up in the industry, coaches identified themselves based on what type of coach they were, like what the goal of their clients was. So like a fat loss coach, a performance coach, a powerlifting coach, a running coach. But now all of a sudden coaches are identifying themselves based on how much they charge. Like where the fuck did this industry go wrong? And I'm saying all of this and people, their jaws are dropped. And I'm just like, man, like I'm starting to understand I must be speaking to a group of people who just were told very, very differently.
Because you weren't getting the normal reaction and they were all looking over
at the beginning, at the beginning, it was not the normal reaction. And then there's this one woman in the back. She asked a question. She was like, you know, you have a big social media. How many people are on your team? How many, like, are they answering your DMs? Da, da, da. And I was like, absolutely. You think I give someone my password to be in my Instagram? Like, absolutely not. If you get a DM from me, it's me. I was like, and basically I said to the effect of, if you have someone in your DMs answering your stuff for you, like, you're a loser. Like, and because a lot of the questions were based around, how do you develop a genuine, authentic relationship with your audience? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how can you expect to develop a genuine, authentic relationship with you and your audience if it's not even you that's communicating with them? Mm-hmm. And again, like, jaws dropped looking at this guy. And finally, the guy had to stand up and be like, guys, it's okay to have different opinions. Like, you can stop looking at me. Like, it's okay to, if we don't do things exactly the same, which I respected a lot.
Which is cool of him.
Yeah, super cool of him. And I think I think it was a very a smart move, and it's accurate. It was actually really great.
I don't know if you said this and I just missed it maybe, but you weren't just a speaker. You were the keynote speaker.
Yeah, I think I said that. I was the keynote speaker at the end of the whole weekend. I didn't tell you this part. This was really good. So there was one kid there, young kid, probably looked around like 24 to 26 years old, maybe even younger, and apparently has a huge audience on TikTok. And I'm in the middle of my talk talking about how chasing likes and follows is like chasing Monopoly money. How it's just like, it's a waste of time. It's not going to be good. And he's like, hey, man. And I can tell he's been paying very close attention. And with a very like intrigued mindset, like he's having a very good reaction to everything I'm saying. And he's like, you're saying this. And he's like, but I've been able to build a really big audience. But he's like, if I'm not supposed to chase that, what am I supposed to chase? If I'm not supposed to chase likes and follows, what am I supposed to chase? And dude, you would have loved this because it was like classic motivational interviewing, like on stage. It was actually very cool. But I asked him, I was like, tell me this, what is your favorite part of making content on social media? Like, what's the favorite part for you? And without hesitation, he was like, when people say that they leave a comment or they DM me and say, you changed my life. And I was like, that's what you chase. You chase that. You don't chase the likes. You don't chase the follow. You chase that. And if you're chasing helping people, if you're chasing meaning and purpose and like giving people an opportunity to learn from you and like to really help them, then everything else will come from that. But that's what you chase. If chasing the likes, chasing the follows, that's a recipe for disaster for everybody. And like that, he was so appreciative. And like he was like, I really needed to hear that. And it seemed like at the end of that conference, that's what they needed to hear after a weekend of learning about like conversions and getting people to DM them immediately and having a team DM them and getting on a conversion call. It was just like, I think they just needed to hear, you're a coach. Your job is to help people. Being a coach is a respectable stand-up career. How about we focus on helping people first? And then with that, you'll be able to support your family, be able to make money and all that. Absolutely. But build it on the back of a great coach helping people, not like targeting people based on their income and trying to get more likes and followers. So it was a good talk.
Sounds like you killed it. It sounds like they needed to hear a lot of that. And it sounds like it landed, which is great. When they were primed for the opposite from every speaker all weekend long.
There's one person I think who was offended when I basically said that if you have a team of people answering your DMs, you're a loser. But overall, I think everyone else really liked it.
That's fine. That's fine. What, like, loser's one word, and I definitely, you know, I don't think that's wrong. I would also say it's just completely disingenuous to borderline fraudulent.
Yeah.
Like, especially if they're pretending to be you, if they're mm-hmm. answering as
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly.
If they're signing off like, you know, Jimmy, Dave's assistant, yeah. Jimmy, whatever the names yeah. are, cool. But yeah. Wasn't there another like someone asked, they said they had been taught that anytime that anyone liked one of their posts, they were supposed to DM them within 15 minutes and immediately try to get them on a conversion call.
Yeah,
was like the strategy.
Immediate DM and say, hey, if you're free, let's hop on a quick call in the next 15 minutes, no matter what time, 2 a.m., whatever. And someone said like, well, what am I supposed to do if it happens at like 2 a.m.
in the middle of the night?
And and it's like, get your team on it. Like, I was like, I can't believe that was someone's
strategy.
Yeah.
That's a strategy being taught is
yeah.
Yeah. It's so backwards. It's so short term. It's so like trying to maximize revenue in the short term, ignoring building a solid foundation for your business, but also ignoring the value of your time, because DMing someone who likes a random post of yours on social media with the intent to get them on a phone call to sell them on, even if it's not high ticket, if it's $300 a month, fitness coaching is such a poor use of time, because to use their terminology, that is a very weak lead. That's a very cold lead. That's like someone liked a post of yours. On average, they're not about to sign up for your fitness coaching.
Correct. Yeah.
Like, continuing to help people, continuing to make content, continuing to answer comments, reply to DMs, help people for free over weeks and months and years, while simultaneously letting your audience know that you offer coaching, which could be via a launch or could be via soft mentions, like we talk about all the time in the mentorship, and have so many people doing well in the mentorship. That is how you're going to build your one-on-one coaching effectively and in a time efficient manner, not by having dozens of calls with people. Like, put yourself on the other side of that. You stumble across someone new on social media who has a pretty big audience or not a big audience, whatever, and you follow them because you like the kinds of things they're saying, or maybe you like one of their pictures because you like what they're saying, and they immediately DM you, hey, want to get on a call? My like spidey sense for gross spam, like degeneracy, like sales, just like my skin tingles. I would want to block them. That's what I would, my intuition would be like, I feel so gross and manipulated about this. I want to, and I realize I'm more on the anti-sales side, but still as a consumer, like my intuition is block. It's not even not get on the call. It's like, I want nothing to do with this person.
Yeah. And so for, I'm going to take my like away as well. Fuck that.
I'm going to take all my likes away. And for people to promote this methodology who have never actually executed on it, who have never actually had an online fitness business, who maybe never coached anyone in person or did for a handful of months or whatever, but they're teaching that as the correct strategy to build your online business is wild.
Yeah, it's insane. And I think you hit on a good point earlier on when you were talking about it, basically saying like, it's such a short-term strategy focused on, it's the same thing as like when people do short-term strategies for fat loss. Like they try and do something super unsustainable, really fucking stupid that will, might lead to something very, very quickly, but long-term it's going to be absolutely horrible for your reputation. It's going to be horrible for your business. It, like even if it actually worked, which by the way, like there's no way this works large scale. It just doesn't. But like, even if it did, is that your fucking business strategy? To like, as soon as like, always just DMing people like, oh, hey, do you want to, like, is that your strategy? The goal is to get them to come to you, whether it's through referrals or through your, like, I think referrals SEO. Is the best way. SEO, referrals, whatever it is.
Because like, referrals are driven by being a great coach.
Correct. Exactly.
It's plus time.
It's just ass backwards the way people have it. And then it's this, again, it's so funny. Like everyone wants this authentic, genuine connection with their audience, but they're doing the most inauthentic, least genuine things to try and manipulate them into signing up with them. It's like the entire base of everything you do is inauthentic. So how in the hell do you think you're going to create an authentic relationship? Of course, your engagement sucks. Of course, people don't care about what you're saying because they can smell your bullshit through the screen. It's like, it's not good.
And you know, you started making content in 2011. I started in late 2012, 2013 is when I launched my website officially. Like we've seen a lot of ebbs and flows and changes in trends and you know, things that were in and then went out and came back in, and we've seen what holds and what works and stands the test of time.
You know, it's interesting on that topic, but going a slightly different direction now. I've really been examining content recently. And it's so funny. When we were growing up in the industry, website articles really, that was the big thing, website articles. whether it was Eric Cressy's website articles or Martin Birkin's or Lyle McDonald's, but it was website articles. And there are many differences in today's, we'll call it Instagram world or TikTok world, than those days' website articles. But there are some major similarities too. And for example, I know like one of Eric Cressy's like most famous style of infotainment blog articles would be five ways to do this, like five ways to improve your deadlift, or like whatever it is, just like three ways to do this, five ways to do this, 10 ways to do this. And he would do that all the time. And I think he still does that type of content. That type of content is, I think, as of right now, one of the best types of content to do, whether it's in short form on Instagram, TikTok, or long form YouTube style, where it's like 10 ways to do this, five ways to do this. And it's funny because I've been watching people's content who's been doing very well. They're doing that. It's just they don't go into as much nuance or detail or depth as you would in an article, but you still get a lot of the same key takeaways, right? So it's like 10, we could have like a five ways to deadlift without hurting your back, right? Or something along those lines. And then it's like, okay, so you're going to put your grip here, number one. Number two, you're going to pull the slack out. Number three, you're going to do this. And literally in the same way that Eric Cressy might've written an article about this with way more depth and nuance, you can do the exact same thing in a shorter form Instagram, TikTok, or a longer form YouTube. It's just a little bit less nuanced, which is arguably that's where the major difference is the less nuanced now than there was before. But it's still the same exact information, same exact content, just packaged differently, which I think is very interesting.
That's cool that strategy is still working, just tweaked a little bit based on the medium of mm-hmm. consumption. Speaking of mediums of consumption, I have a weird hunch that the increase in popularity in creating short form content, whether it's social media or even not even short form content, but what we're doing, which is podcast plus clips, which is mm-hmm. a very easy style of content to create, right? We sit down and have a conversation. A lot of people are doing it. Is going to leave open white space in the long form article arena.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
writing's way harder than having a conversation for the majority of people. And mm-hmm. good writing is especially hard, which is why good writing in captions, you know, leads to success disproportionately on short form. I don't want to say anything too crazy, but
say it. Say something crazy.
I could see myself being like a blogger, like a back.
Shut up.
Like writing long form articles / emails. And there's a lot of upside to this.
Are you considering
this?
A comeback?
No. But considering maybe, but let's not get too excited.
We'll just leave it. Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that. You probably won't. I almost definitely won't, but I might. And if I
probably not,
there are real benefits. Let's leave me out of this, even though I got a little mm-hmm. weird little itch Tangle. For it. Mm-hmm. There are so many benefits to the anonymity and ability to educate of email / website article mm-hmm. compared to,
dude,
you know,
completely agree.
So many people aspire when they get started in content, aspire toward being known, and we can call that fame or we can call that micro fame for many different reasons, for ego, like, you know, just because it's a mimetic desire. Is that what it's called? Like you see what other people want around you. And so you by default want that thing too. And fame is like a thing that people want in society today.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that through being known publicly on social. And so people think they want that without knowing what comes with that. Well, similar to you talking about likes and followers being monopoly money, on the other side of that coin is not having that public attention, not being known by having a popular website still leads to a very nice revenue stream. So you can build a great business and help a lot of people without, and maybe you have a small social media, so you're still active there, but your main thing is being less known. It's interesting. And because of the massive amount of supply around public facing content and the low supply now relative to 5 to 10 years ago on websites, I think there's an opportunity there to be had.
Dude, I love that. Like, I agree. That was actually one of the things I really learned from Pat Flynn when I started working with him in like 2014. Mm-hmm. I remember, because in like 2015, there was like this, it was a very different time in the fitness industry, especially in the science-based fitness industry. There was this like circle jerk of a small handful of people in the fitness industry who's sort of like, they ran it all. Like they ran the industry there, and they were, no one really knew what affiliate marketing was back then. Like, especially consumers, they had no idea what it was. They didn't know that if they were clicking a link that someone, the person who provided that link was going to get compensated for that. They had no idea. It was relatively new. And this small group of like 10 to 15 people were all affiliates for each other's programs. And they would launch, they would have these huge launches, and they would literally structure the year so that like, all right, you launch in this month, I'll launch in this month. And they would all co-promote each other's products together. So not only would the person who made the product do well, but they would all do well. And in order to make it in the industry at this time, you had to befriend this group of people. You had to like find your way in, and you saw people who didn't fit into this group, who like this group would attack them, or members of this group would attack them or talk shit about them. And then immediately they would be ostracized from the industry. And I was just like, this is terrible. Like, this is, I don't want to be in this circle jerk. I don't want anything to do with it. And so that's when I actually got in touch with Pat Flynn. And Pat Flynn, my goal was, I don't want to depend on anybody in the industry. And Pat was, and still is, absolutely dominating it without needing anybody to know who he is. Like, he can walk around, no one knows who he is. Mm-hmm. Like, he goes to the grocery store, no one knows who he is. Meanwhile, on the back end, just absolutely killing it beyond most people's wildest imagination. Mm-hmm. And just sends an email out every day. And that's it. And it was just like, and he's got like 5 kids. He plays guitar. He studies the Bible. Like, and he's like, sends an email out and does coaching, and like just unbelievably balanced and absolutely dominating it without needing anybody to know who he is, which is, I think, the ultimate. That's just the best. And so I think you're right. There's a huge desire, which I think is almost entirely ego-based, for people to be known, because people want people to know that they're known. People, like, they have this, I want people to know me. I want people to know how smart I am. I want people to know how good I am, whatever it is. And
it's natural. I think it's natural. Yeah. It's like, there was a period of time where I got stopped and recognized on a somewhat regular basis living in the city.
I remember that. I saw it happen multiple times.
And I really liked it when it would happen. Like, I thought I was somebody. I was like,
you are somebody.
But everybody's somebody, whether that happens or not, is what I learned afterwards. But at the time, there was real ego in it. Like, oh yeah, like I'm, like, people know who I, they're, it, that was going through my head.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was on such a micro scale, by the way, right? We're talking like a few times a month max. And so to get to a level where it's consistent for people, you know, there are safety concerns. There's just the annoyance. There's, you know, always having to be on. There's a lot of, like, especially for people who aren't as extroverted, maybe don't want to be having a lot of conversations. Not to mention, the bigger you are, the more of a target you have on your back for every which reason for someone to try and attack you. The bigger your audience, the more like riffraff that can be going on in comments and DMs that isn't the worst thing in the world, but definitely is annoying, we'll call it. there's a lot of downside. And so an argument can be made for building on a medium where you're less visually recognizable.
Yeah, dude, for sure. It's the ultimate, the grass is always greener, right? A lot of people, I want to be famous, I want to be known. Just look at the people who are super famous and their response to the paparazzi, to people who are always like trying to like get pictures of them. Like that's the ultimate level of fame. And maybe you're like, well, maybe I don't want that much. Maybe I want something less. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Number one. I mean, it's funny. I remember there's a famous video of Michael Jackson. He rented out a grocery store and like had actors come in and pretend to be regular shoppers so that he could go into a grocery store and shop just like a regular person. And he wanted just to so have that experience.
That's
just
wild.
So he could feel what it was like to go through a grocery store. There's a video of it. It's amazing. He literally rented out a grocery store and paid actors to go in and pretend to shop so that he could go in without being bothered and just shop. And it's like the things that you do on your day-to-day life and basis where you just take it for granted and you're looking at what someone else says, oh man, it would be so great to have fame and to have someone else go grocery shopping for me. Someone else on the other side of that, richer than anyone else, is wishing they could be you in the grocery store shopping. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny, like my dad was relatively well known. Like he had a very big radio show. He was on the radio from when he was 14 years old. And so at least in the Boston area, like he was recognized a lot. And it was funny because anytime like teachers or whatever, they heard my last name, they'd be like, are you his son? And it like happened all the time. And I literally just thought about this. I haven't thought about this in a long time. I went to a baseball camp, must've been like 8 or 9 years old. And one of the coaches at the baseball camp was like, oh, are you his son? And I was like, yeah. And for no reason, I was like 8 or 9. This coach goes, you know, your dad was married before he was married to your mom, which no, like I did know it. Like they had told me that he had a previous marriage, but it's almost like, so this guy knows that. And what if they hadn't told me? Mm-hmm. What if they deliberately wanted to keep that private? Mm-hmm. This fucking random guy tells me something. And at the time I was like, yeah, of course I knew. Thinking back, I'm like, what a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like, why would you say that
to a kid?
But like things that you just can't control will happen when, and it's just, yeah, it's pretty wild. So, and I think
that is wild. I didn't
know
that. That's
why I think chasing. Yeah. I mean, I haven't thought about it in a long time. I still remember that guy's face. I think I told my mom, like when I got in the car, that I was like, yeah, this guy said that. And my mom was like, why did he say that? I was like, I don't know. He just said it. but that's why I think the focus on fame or followers, that's one reason why it's a losing battle. It will not make you happier. It will not do anything other than actually, I think, probably increase your anxiety and maybe even take away the joy from what you're doing. Whereas when the focus is on just helping people and being a good coach because you want to be a great coach and you want to help people, then you really can't go wrong with that.
Preaching, bro.
Dude.
Great episode.
Super good episode.
Oh, we have a sale coming up very soon for the mentorship. Very soon. So if you're listening to this and you're not on our email list, jump on the email list. You can do that down in the show notes because we're going to make the announcement there. And also continue listening to the podcast because in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have the first sale we've had in 10 months. So we haven't done a single sale for 10 months and it's going to be pretty massive. We're talking,
so she said,
many hundreds, many, many hundreds of dollars off. So if you've been thinking and about joining,
if you're a high ticket coach,
we don't want you.
Don't join.
No.
We don't want you in there.
No.
If you're a someone who wants to be a great coach who helps people, that's what we want. If you're looking for a high ticket, quick buck, get rich quick, horseshit, DM, rapid business growth nonsense, we don't want you. Keep listening to the podcast. You need the podcast, honestly. Like, keep listening to us talk before you pay anything. Just keep listening. But
if you're looking to join the 72-hour water fast version of business mm-hmm. coaching, don't sign up. This isn't for you.
Yeah. If you're looking to be famous and be known, don't sign up.
Not for you. Doesn't make sense. You won't like it. You'll cancel quick.
Yeah. If you're looking for get rich quick, live in a mansion, tell people how rich and famous you are.
Bling bling, Louis Vuitton shoes, $10,000 watches.
No.
There are other gurus out there.
Yeah. What else? What else don't we want in there? if you're looking for something to be like, hey, I'm looking to take on three people who want to lose fat in the next month. No, but yeah, you would actually take on as 15. Many as they are. Yeah. We don't want that.
If you're looking to just blatantly lie in your marketing material to grow mm-hmm. your business and have no values or ethics or morals, not
don't
for you.
Don't sign up.
Not the place to be. You won't like it. Just save us all the headache.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. If you, if you want to be a part of an amazing community of kind, encouraging, passionate coaches who really want to help people, and yes, you want to increase your income so you can support yourself, support your family, you can give to charity, that's all great. But if you want to be a better coach, you want to be a great coach, you want to help people because this is what you're passionate about, make sure you're on our email list. Get on the email list. The link is in the show notes because we're going to let you know when we're having this massive, massive sale, hundreds of dollars off to join the mentorship.
You know what? If you made it to the very end of this episode and if you're still listening right now and you're thinking about joining, go ahead and shoot an application over. So you can still jump on the email list, but go to fitnessbusinessmentorship.com, click apply, fill out the application, you know, answer the questions and say you're interested in joining for the sale, and that'll hold a spot for you. So you can go ahead and do that. Sales coming officially very, very soon. Thank you for listening. Officially very coming soon. Very soon. Have a great week. Let's get it. Weekly episodes, Tuesday morning. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.
See ya.